We'll be in the book of Jude. And Brother Garrett, you don't know it, but this week, in the past few weeks, I found myself playing that same song on my vehicle as I'm working, and just a reminder just to hold on, you know. And we ain't walking in this world alone. God's here with us to hold our hand and help us through. No matter what trial, what tribulation comes, as he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll do me and you as well and lead us through that fire. And as long as we hold on to his hand. Jude this evening will be verse 3 through 7. If I want to preach a little bit about Jude here and a warning that Jude gave to us here. And he wanted to warn us, but as I read the beginning of Jude, I first seen where he wanted to come and talk to us about salvation. And, you know, we can read a lot about salvation, and also we can read a lot about warnings in the Bible. And I thought it was kind of interesting when Jude come here and he thought, well, as I get toward the end of the book here, we'll talk about more about salvation and what salvation is and how we can be saved. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I need you to throw one more warning in there before we finish this book up. And tonight, I want to say that God, before he finishes what he's got to on earth, he wants to throw a warning to us. And he's given us that warning that he's coming back again and that he's going to call his children home. But I feel like a lot of us are still sleeping and feel like that's not ever going to happen. Jude chapter 1, verse 3, if you will, please stand as we begin, as we read and reverence God's word this morning. The Bible says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lavishness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." God, I thank you for this evening, Father, that you just allowed me to come and be a mouthpiece for you tonight, Father God. But I pray they don't hear my voice, but they hear you high and lifted up this evening. God, I pray they not see me behind this desk, but they see you high and lifted up tonight, God. Father God, I pray, God, you just take out of remembrance what I don't need to remember, and you put in what I need to. Lord God, I just pray you bless the reading of this word. Father, I pray you just anoint it from on high. I love you, and I thank you. It's in Jesus' name I ask, and I do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. I wrote that there, and it stuck out, and that's why I wrote it, because how many times do we walk every day and just think that the life we walk out into in our Christian life is just a playground? Do we take it serious, do we just go out and look like the world, or do we go out there where we battle? You know, if it was a playground, why would we need Jesus? But it's a battleground, and we need him each and every day. The title of this message is "The Enemy is Creeping Among Us." And here, the question I have for you this evening is, how is the enemy creeping in? The first one I want to look at is, he's creeping in unnoticed this evening. He's creeping in by someone already in the inside. The Bible here in verse 3, it says, here in verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Galatians 2:4 said, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You see, tonight, Jude here, he threw a warning at us that they're coming in, and they're already on the inside. They crept in, and they're here unaware. Well, how did they get in unaware? Well, I tell you, because here Jude was warning about false prophets, and some churches today, they're allowing people to fill a position inside the church, and they're not teaching and preaching, thus saith the word of God. They're preaching what makes somebody feel good. They're preaching somebody's feelings and not somebody's faith. They're preaching against, they're not telling the whole truth. They only want to give you what sounds good. But Jude here, he said, he gave this warning. He said, for there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lavishness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He's told us there that they took Jesus and the grace of God, and they just made a fit out of it. They made a mess out of God. They turned His grace into, you see, grace is there for us to turn to when we need it the most, and when we've messed up and we need His grace to fall in our life. It's not just to abuse and use when we're messing up all the time and walking out in the world and say we're saved, but we turn around and we get to our workplace or we get to our school and we get around our friends and we want to cut up and cuss and drink and do drugs or whatnot, want to look at dirty messages or photos or whatnot. You see, we don't use grace to just automatically wipe that away. But that's what grace is being used for. And see, Jude gave this warning here. They turned it into lavishness. They turned it into denying our Lord God. But I also want to look at how they come in unnoticed by leaders becoming careless and complacent. That word careless and complacent is a big two words in my life that I try to remind myself of each and every day. Don't get careless and don't get complacent. But it is not only in my spiritual life, but I try to remind myself in my physical life not to get careless and not get complacent, because what happens when somebody gets careless and gets complacent? Accidents happen. Things go bad. Things go wrong. But what about leaders in the church? What happens if we get complacent? What if a Sunday school teacher gets complacent? What if the pastor gets complacent? What if the worship team and leader gets complacent? I don't feel like God wants to move in somebody that's careless and complacent. I don't feel like you're going to grow if you're careless and complacent. I feel like He wants to use somebody that holds up to His name, that praises Him and allows Him to use them. Not only do we see that by leaders coming careless and complacent, but we see here in by the church going to sleep tonight, we notice they're creeping in, the enemy's creeping in because folks are falling asleep. I'm not talking about falling asleep because you didn't get no rest on Saturday night and you come in this morning and you slept through services, or you're tired right now and you're sleeping tonight. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we just get so dull and we just get so void of the Word of God that we just sit over there and we tone it out and we just don't want to listen. We just fall asleep to the Word of God. But see, if we do all that, and if we allow all that to come in and the enemy creeps in, then we're not building a building out here. The church ain't growing. Children ain't being raised up. Children ain't wanting to come to Sunday school no more. You're not growing nothing anymore. You're just allowing it to go down. Mark 7:21 and verse 23. Bible says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lavishness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile the man. See, there was a warning there from God, and he wrote that because that's in red. That's his words. We see how what happens to a man when we allow ourselves to allow the enemy to come in. He told us there that out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitful lavishness, and the evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. If we allow ourselves to not obey the word of God and we allow ourselves to sleep or to be careless and complacent, and we allow all this stuff to build up in our hearts. Then we get our eye off God because we got walls and barriers that hide our view from Jesus. Not only do we see the enemy creeping in by him being unnoticed, but the enemy creeps in unconcerned this evening. There's unconcerned people out there because they continue against the warnings of God. Verse 5 and 7 said, I will therefore, Jude here said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them, believed not. He said, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. He said they're coming in unconcerned and they're not hearing the warnings. He told them there. He said, you see Egypt? He said, look what I did to the ones that believe not. But listen, that's what he's telling the world today. You believe not, guess where you're going? You're bound for a devil's hell. He said, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, they gave themselves over to fornication and going after the flesh. But look what they're bound to. They're bound for the eternal fire. They're suffering. It says there, they're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Well, guess what he told us? When he comes back and the people that are left, what is he destroying the world by? He's destroying it by fire. Jude's throwing this warning out to me and you today that he wants to dress up. He wants to make these things of the world look pretty. But he don't care. He don't care that one day when the God comes back that it's going to be fire that's going to burn these people alive. Guess what? He wants you to come join him. He's in the lake of fire. That's where he wants to be. That's where he wants us to be if he could have his way. Colossians 1:28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. There in the book of Colossians, it said the same thing, who we preach warning to every man. And says we're teaching every man in all wisdom. It's our job to make sure that the lost know that Jesus is here and there's a better place, that heaven's here and heaven's real, and that we can have a home there one day if we'll just accept him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we don't have to abound in that lake of fire and we don't have to feel the wrath of God on our lives when he comes back and if you're still here. They're coming also in unconcerned by their tempting of the word of God. Deuteronomy 6:16 says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Verse 6 through 7 is there as well. I want to say that these places, they tempted God. They tempted God there. I want to say that he gave them a warning, but you know, they kept on going on. He told them what was going to happen, but they kept on. They didn't, I don't know. I say that about the world today. I don't know. You know, sometimes we just feel, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse when I try to tell a lost man about Jesus Christ. And we probably all feel that way. I got to, and I'm not bragging because it was not fun. I got a chance to take four ladies to Tutwiler Prison the week before last, and I had to be up there at the jail at 5 o'clock, and I picked them up, and we started down the road, and, you know, they're going to prison, so I guess they think it's Burger King. They can have everything their way. We get going down the road, and they want to listen to their type of music. They want to do what they want to do, and one of them says, can we listen to the music we like to listen to, or can we play our song before, while on the way to prison, before we have to go and sit down there? And I was like, well, what do you want to listen to? And she said, rap. And I said, nope, it ain't happening. And she said, country. I said, no, it ain't happening. She said, please tell me we ain't going to listen to Christian music. About that time, I hit play and I turned it up. And she was sitting in the front seat. Boy, the look on her face. It was great. The trip was not fun. But when she said, please don't let it be Christian music. You know, part of me got a little mad. And then the other part of me did me hit the play button and turn it up. And, you know, not only is that a opportunity that she had to ride 2.5 hours listening to the gospel, but it was also for me a chance to witness that one day, even though they got in a situation that they're in trouble right now and they're paying for their punishment, but they don't have to pay for a spiritual punishment one day by dying and going to hell. They got to hear about God. They got to hear about heaven. They got to hear that worship. And that made me feel better. That took my anger away, because that was an opportunity to spread Jesus. They're also creeping in unconcerned because they continue to live like the world. You see, when Jude come here, he said there in verse 4, he said they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. You see, these people here, they knew Jesus. They know what God, who God is. But they didn't want to live like him, so they decided to take him, and they wanted to be ungodly, so they turned Jesus into stuff of this world. They wanted him to be lavishness. They wanted to dime. They wanted to paint God up as who he wasn't. And that's what happens in today. Today's time, there's people out there that say, oh, come on to church. Jesus will pat you on the back if you just drink one beer. It's all right to drink just one. It ain't going to hurt nothing. It's all right to smoke Delta 8, which is marijuana. It's all right to hit a bump of this and that. It's all right to look at one picture. See, God can forgive all that. Yeah, he can, but he's not going to if we just keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. He's not going to keep on forgiving it if we just keep on living like the world. Last point. We looked at how the enemy's creeping in, but I want to look out one question. How can we keep the enemy from creeping in? This last point is, remember God's word. Verse 17 to 19 in Jude says, 17 through 19 says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own godly lust. These be, in verse 19, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. He said, we can see here, we can remember God's word by quoting scripture to the enemy. This is how we can keep them creeping in. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 4. I want to look at Jesus here. This is where Satan come in and he was going to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. Verse 3, it says, and when they tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're remembering God's word by quoting the scripture to the enemy. This is how we can keep him from creeping in. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee and their hands, that they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said there, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. God reminded us here that if we just quote Scripture, if we'll just quote him Scripture, we see three times right there where Jesus told Satan that it is written. He said it is written three times here in Matthew chapter 4, and he reminded Satan what the Word of God said. You see, when Satan rears up and when he thinks he can come in unnoticed and he thinks he can come in unconcerned, let's remind Satan that it is written in this book that we can defeat him. We can remind him that Jesus holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We can remind him that he'll carry us through a fire. We can remind him that he doesn't win in the back of the book. We've seen where Jesus did that three times. Can we stand and be like Jesus? Can we be like him? Can we quote the scripture? Do we know enough scripture? Do we know enough scripture in our lives to go out each and every day when something happens or when something flares up to quote it back to the enemy? Are we complacent or are we careless? Do we not care? Do we just get up and just do a morning routine or an evening routine? Not only do we keep him from coming in by quoting the scripture, but we can remind the enemy who God is. Revelations 1, chapter 8 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. God reminded us there in Revelation that he is the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. He was the beginning and he is the end. Satan can't stand against that. He can't stand against that. The last thing I want to look at is you can cast the enemy out with prayer. Mark 16:17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. If you don't want the enemy creeping in your life, if you don't want him creeping in, and First thing I can say is make sure you're not careless and complacent. Make sure you're not careless and complacent. Make sure that you're not allowing him to paint up what you deal with each and every day to ease back into your life. What I mean by that is don't let your sin that you battle and that he knows that you struggle with each and every day flare right back up and allow him to put it back in where it shouldn't fit in. When he tempts you with your sin, quote him scripture. It is written. Tell him to get behind you. But also, remember God's word. If you don't know God's word, study God's word. Everybody can quote John 3:16. Everybody can quote Philippians 4:13. Get on in there. Get some meat out of that word. Remind Satan that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. Remind him that he don't hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Sometimes he needs a reminder. I think he forgets sometimes, or it seems like he does. Not if you're battling that in here tonight. I pray you get it right. I pray that if Satan's crept in by doing something in your life, by throwing that temptation at you, or if you feel like you've just gotten careless and complacent, you don't feel like God's moving, I just pray tonight you just find your way back at the foot of the cross. As our worship team comes, Lord God, I thank you. I praise you. God, I want to pray that tonight, God, if somebody's struggling, Father, with Satan tonight, if somebody among us is being a false teacher, if they're listening to a false teacher just because they want to feel good, God, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you break that bond. You break that chain. Father God, I pray that they just see you high and lifted up. God, I pray that you take men and women and you instill the word of God in them and they study it enough, Father God, that they can shake the chains that are holding each and every one of us down in our lives, that we're battling something in our life, Father God, a temptation. God, I pray that, God, that our word, that we study enough of your word that when Satan flares up, that we can just put him back down in his place, Lord God. God, I pray, Father, that you just be with this hour. Be with this time, Father. Father, and I just pray that you just keep us safe. We love you. We thank you for this word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.